Was it difficult to get a good job at Honeywell? You said there was a recession and that's why you lost your
job. Well, see, that's, I went back 3 years after. Mm-hmm. And, no, I went in there. The reason I picked Honeywell, because it's so close, I could walk. And at that time, we didn't have an extra car, even if I didn't drive at the time. And I could walk to work. And I felt like if my daughter needed me, I could rush home, you know, fast like. And I went in there, and they had a test that you had to pass, you know, verbal and written test. And I went with I don't really care if I get a job or not. You know, I was that anxious. And when we were in there, there's a whole bunch of women. And when I went into the restroom, they had a little restroom there. I went in, and when I came out, they were all gone. And I said, what happened? And the lady in personnel said, well, they didn't get a job. They all went home. I said, oh. So I started for the door and says, but you got a job. I said, oh. And then she says, you passed your verbal and that thing. But I think a lot of it was because I had all those years in aircraft, you know. I knew how to do aircraft. They more or less screen you on that too, you know. And sure enough, I went in there and there was no big deal. It was easy for me. You know. In fact, it's a lot easier to say production work than it was in aircraft. With aircraft, you have to do a lot of measuring. You have to know a lot of sizes and, you know, it takes more skill. Mm-hmm. Over here, you learn one how to do one job, and once you learn it, that you do it over and over. That was it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't too hard. And I stayed there 17 years. It was the first time I ever worked with a lot of women. Assembly, I would say, is 95% women. Mm. It's a lot different than working with men, you know. In a way, it was nice because I made a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And in a other way, I never knew how to get along. I mean, I didn't know how women were, you know.
I was going to say, how is it different?
Well, the like I tell you, it was more women and lower wage. They didn't pay as much as the aircraft. And we had to work a lot harder, faster, more production. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was more production. It was like an aircraft, it's quality that counted. Over here it was quantity. Mm-hmm. And we had to work hard. And a lot of long hours were at the aircrafts. They never worked just like your 8 hours. And because there was always a shift following you, mm-hmm. They need you. But here we had to work a lot of overtime, a lot of Saturdays.
That was required?
Yes, because if you're making a part up to a certain point, then another girl takes it up from there, and you're needed, because they're not going to bring in another girl and teach you the job, mm-hmm. just because you're going to be, you know, leaving at 3:30, mm-hmm. you know. Unless you had a very good reason, like you had an appointment with a doctor or something like that. But they didn't like it if you know, didn't come in. Like, you start at 6 sometimes. You can get out to 4:30. That's hard.
Mm. Was Honeywell union?
Yeah, yes, it was union. At first, when I went in, there was a little union. It was very ineffective. And what you call sweetheart union. Mm-hmm. And then a whole bunch of us got together. And I knowing the wages that we could, I was very dissatisfied with the wages. That we could be making, you know, we got the Teamsters in. And sure enough, they raised us to this day. I mean, I don't like the way their methods in between contracts, you know, but as far as getting you raises, they do get you raises and get you good benefits and good pension plans and all that. But as far as they seem like they forget you until the next contract is due. Like they got this deal with a company, don't bother us and we won't bother you. In other words, the company went more or less by the rules that was set up by the union, but still underhandedly they could do a lot of things and the union wouldn't be there to back us up. But as far as money and better benefits, it was a lot better.
And you were involved with bringing the union in?
Well, I helped, yeah. That, in fact, I even was a union steward, you know, for about a year. Mm. It was just about the time my daughter went away to college, and I thought I better get doing something, you know. And I went to, they had a class in being a union steward, and so I took it. And there was hardly anybody that was going. That was, you know, most of the women would just get out of work and dash home, mm. where I was close by. And at that time, my husband was still working nights, so I would go to the class, you know, and so there were hardly any that went. So automatically you were a steward if you wanted to. I didn't want it, but I got elected at least for a year. Mm-hmm. So into it.
What kinds of things did you do to help get the union started?
Talk to the girls, and encourage the one that went in and got them. And it was a girl. She was really everybody's scared of her as far as she was a go-getter and very assertive. And she just went and called them and told them, how do we go about throwing one union out and having an election? And there was a lot of, friends that got to be enemies because one wanted one and the other one, you know. And the other one was very ineffective. They would offer us a nickel or 2 cents. I remember one time we got a 2 cent raise. And they would say, vote for it, accept it. You know, if you can do better, you go in there and argue it, you know. Mm-hmm. So we really needed professional union in there.
Was there ever any hassle from the company?
Oh,
you who were involved in getting the union?
No, they talked to us. In fact, they called a big meeting in one of the sheds outside, and they told us, try to scare us about it, Teamsters, how they had a bad reputation, which they do, and all that. But we thought, well, this is a lesser of two evils, you know. We have to think about ourselves, mm-hmm. too. And so they were voted in. And then what got us, when they had the meeting and they told us what they had gotten for us, you should have heard the girls clapping and going. The ones that had went for the other union, when money talks, you know. And they said how much of a raise they had gotten us, and, you know, what the conditions were. And that's why I was able to retire now, because they have that, what they call early retirement. What they do is that after you're there 15 years and you're 55, they will give you, they figure out what you're going to get at 62 from Social Security, and they will give you that, you're like on Social Security with them until you're 62, mm-hmm. okay? But then I won't get any pension from them. I'll just automatically go into Social Security. Mm-hmm. So you can, if you want to quit at 55 and take your early retirement, they qualify a leveling out plan. Mm-hmm. So I get a pension every month. And still, if I want, I could go out and work, you know.
It doesn't affect how much you'll get from them?
No, because they're going to give me the same amount up until I'm 62. Mm-hmm. Then they quit. And also, I get to keep my medical, dental, eyeglasses, mm-hmm. all that, until I'm 65. Because 65 is Medicare, right? Or Kate, I get mixed up with them. And it's until 65. So you can't beat that. And the work is, the work conditions aren't that bad. It's, like I tell you, with long hours and very hard, and you have to work very fast, and a lot of pressure. And I was getting to the place where I was getting chest pains, and I thought, this isn't worth it, you know. And I'll just take the retirement, which a lot of girls are doing. Mm-hmm. And maybe they go work somewhere else, you know. So, in a way, that union really helped us. In fact, they got right after I quit, they had a new contract, and I got to have my pension raised even then, you know. I was still in effect for me. Yeah.
How long ago did you retire?
It's been 1970, August the 1st, 1978. I decided all of a sudden, I found out what you could get. One of the girls was retiring, and she told me, I've only been here so long. And he goes, yeah, I've been here longer, and I'm a little older, and I'll probably get more. And I says, I went in the office and told him, process it, you know, stay home with my, because he was retired by then. Mm-hmm. I had to, you know, stay home. And, kind of worry about inflation, though, now. Worry about inflation, yeah. And just our house. I'll tell you what, our payment is $90 a month. Mm-hmm. So you know, and it'll be paid off in about another 3 years.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot. Then that's what's helping us, you know, mm-hmm. with inflation. So she just sold her house for $135, mm-hmm. and they were only 22 when we bought them. So, I guess our generation, that's what we have lucked out.
Mm. Did your husband work for Continental Can?
No, American.
American Can. I'm yeah. sorry. The whole time.
Yes, he worked. He's worked ever since he got out of service. He worked there until they closed the plant down on him. He had always told me, "I'm going to retire when I'm 57." You know, and I said, "Oh no, you're not." You know, and so what happens? They decided the plant was obsolete, that they were closing it down, and he's been there. He's been there a long time, 30 some years, and they retired him with a good pension. Plus, I think they gave him, how did they do it? They gave him some more money to kind of make up for the salary loss. And then when he got out, he was able to collect unemployment. So he was making more money, you know, than he was when he was working. Mm-hmm. And he was real happy, but he really had to take it. He went out from where he was. He ended up, he got bumped down till he was out there sweeping the yard. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm taking it just so I won't lose my pension," you know. And but he said, "To tell you the truth, I locked the doors on that place," you know.
And as, I mean, as he got older, his job status went down.
No, I'm talking about at the end when the plant closed down, where they got rid of everybody, and they were knocking down all the stuff down, you know.
Yeah.
And he just stayed with it, and he was said it was getting hard for him too. The work was heavy and hard to do, you know. And he worked over there where it's a lot of smog. It's really bad there in Vernon. I mean, the air. In fact, he's got a touch of emphysema now. And he was glad to retire. And, yeah, he worked there all that time. Mm-hmm. He stayed with him.
You said a little bit earlier that at one point that you didn't drive yet. When did you learn how to drive?
Oh, let's see. Well, that was another story. No, I had been, you know how you depend on your husband to take you here and there, and then he'd always say, "Give you half hour, give you 45 minutes, you know. Oh, I used to get, and then I'd get carried away, like I said, I like to go shopping, and we'd end up in fights because I'd be late coming back, and I was like, I'm going to learn how to drive, you know. I kept saying that, you know, and not really making up my mind how you say things. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, my daughter was going to a junior high here, and she was having her teeth straightened. And I told her, "Gee, why do I have to miss work? Why don't you take the bus and go by yourself, you know?" Mm-hmm. And so she's okay, and I gave her a note to be excused from school because she had an appointment with an orthodontist. And I had always told her, "Don't call me at work unless it's an emergency, you know. It's got to be an emergency." So all of a sudden they called me. "Your daughter called." I said, "Oh, my God." And on the phone, she said, "Mama, is this an emergency?" She said, "I was waiting in the bus, and some man tried to pick me up." And she says, when he came around the second time, you know, around the corner to pick me up, she said, "I got off of there and ran straight home as fast as I could, and I locked the doors." And I told her, "Yes, that's an emergency." And I said, "I'll be right home." And I came and I called the police, you know, because at first I called the school, and they told her, "Well, call the police because we don't want that kind of, you know," and apparently he's doing this, you know, around school here. And we called the police and we reported and everything. And then I said, "Just because I'm so dumb that I don't have, something would happen to my daughter just because I don't drive." So first I had to start teaching. And I go, "Oh." And all that was about, we were ending up in, he was just, you know, it just doesn't work. So I called a California driver school. And they came. And I would take a half hour each time. And I think I ended up with 4 hours. And I learned how to drive. And I remember my daughter would always ride in the back. She didn't trust my driving. And then from then on, I just, you know, take her to have her teeth straightened out or whatever. I learned how to drive, got my license.
Why had you not learned before?
Well, there was an extra car, really, you know, that. I just never really, I wanted to, but I just, you know, the buses were right here, you know, that was real easy. Then I seen everybody driving, and I said, "Well, they can drive. I can drive." And but you know one thing, I don't drive the freeways yet. I'm kind of. I know going to Santa Barbara. I said, "Oh my God, you know, the traffic is so heavy, you know, and fast. Mm-hmm. It's just scary." So, but I get around now. But now the girls, they learn when they're in school. Mm-hmm. Do they still have it? I heard on a kind of Proposition 13 that they had been a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I learned in school.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know my daughter did. She learned how to. She drives a freeway and all over. You know, she gets around. So. But when you learn when you're young like that, it's different than when you learn when you're older.
Oh.
You're more cautious. So. Yeah, all the, like my neighbor next door, she didn't drive either. And she learned. She learned how to drive. Now she goes to work downtown. And you just have to nowadays.
how have decisions been made in your relationship with your husband? Who has made the decisions over the years?
Well, I kind of introduced him, you know, like I say that our decision to buy a house at this time. I kind of like the way I approached that. We were going to bed, and I says, tomorrow we're getting up early, and we're going to go look at houses. And he says, how can we look at houses? We owe $1,100 on a car. And I says, well, I says, we have money in the bank. We're going to, if we find a house, we'll pay off the car. And I says, now they got houses with nothing down.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, we got enough money to pay it down and still have money left. You know. So he says, okay. So he got up and looked in the paper, you know, that where they, you know, those days they had to track the homes. We headed out to Westchester, you know, and all the homes that they were building, there were 11,000. That's too much, you know. That was just too much. And then my husband says, "Well, you know, they had advertised something in Gardena. Let's go look at those." So we went. We came down, and they were 8,100, and up to 9,000. Oh, we said, well, we can afford the 8,100, you know. We could all afford the 91, but we're just very conservative. And right then and there, they took us to pick out a lot. We picked out a nice big lot, dumb that we were. And it was, I think the house was 8,100. And the payments were $57 a month. That included taxes and insurance and everything. And then that was in March, and we moved in I think it was around November. We moved in the following March, and we got that house. So I say that was my doing, you know. Then when we bought this second house, I told my husband, who was working at Douglas at the time, I said, I'm going to save every paycheck just for another house. I want a bigger house. And so... he just humored me. He's okay, you know. So every Friday, we'd go with my check, put it in the bank, and we'd live on his check. Then we'd go out and have a French dip sandwich. That was our routine. We'd go to the bank and put it in. And so then I saw these homes over on the other side of Vermont. And I told my neighbor next door, let's go look at them on Sunday. My husband was watching football with a friend. And she and I went. And when we came back, he said, how were they? And I said, oh, they're beautiful. I'm just having, I'd give anything to have them. And my husband says, when I'm looking to buy a car, I don't go look at Cadillacs. He said, I go look at cars that I can afford, so forget it. You know, you're just dreaming, you know. And then another time he told me, if you're not happy with this house, get a suitcase, you find your house, you know. That's. And I just kept on, one ear out the other. So one time, he loves to go out and look at boats. One Sunday, he says, you know that new English ship, it was called the Oriana, I can't forget the name of it. He said, it's in the harbor, let's go look at it. And we got open house, and we'll go visit it. And I said, okay. So we got ready and took my daughter, and we went down there to the, got in, and went and looked at that new ship, you know, visited all that. So about, it must have been about four, we're coming back down Normandy here, because we lived off Normandy over there. And I said, oh, and across the street they were building some homes. And I said, come on, let's go look at those homes, you know. And he wouldn't get out of the car. So my daughter and I went, got off, and we went looking around. It was very nice home. And we got to talking to some of the ladies there, and they said, well, these homes are nice, but there's some nicer ones across the street, you know, or on the other side. And I said, oh, yeah, I see them over there. You know, they're still building them. And... So when I got in my car, my husband says, well, how were they? I said, they were nice, but they said that there are nicer homes over here, you know, much nicer. You know what he did? He drove over here. And he says, I guess he started thinking to himself, you know, I'm being stubborn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he got off with me. I said, oh, you're coming with us? He said, yeah. And so when we got in and we saw this model, he said, how do you like it? I said, I'd give my left arm for it, you know. He said, well, we're going to get it. So I didn't say, well, can't we look at other houses? I said, let's go to the office. And we went to the office, and she said, well, we're closing. You know, it's closing time. She says, come tomorrow, you know. And so it was a good thing he was working nights, because we came back the next day. And she says, we only have so many models left. You know, just this one was left, and another one was facing the other track, which we didn't want. So my husband says, well, we'll sign up for this. And so then we had to put up the house for sale. And we got back next day. All our neighbors were flabbergasted. Here they're moving, they're buying a new home, you know. And in my neighbor, the one that I tell you got a job at the Italian neighbor, Vic, they put their house up for sale, too. They decided if we could afford a house, they could afford a house. And so she told me, I was talking to her, she told me, did you sign up for it? I said, yeah, we got it. I've put a deposit on it and everything. We're going to put our house for sale. And she says, you know, Rick and I stayed up all last night talking. I said, what about it? She says, we're trying to figure out how you guys got the money to get that house. Mm. I said, well, I says, look at it this way. I says, I've only got one child, you've got three. I said, I've worked, and I said, every Friday I went and put my check in the bank. I've been saving, mm-hmm. you know. And I says, as well as my goal, you know, that I was going to get a better home. I just didn't tell nobody, you know, like, same thing about that other job. I just had my goal. In case it didn't come out, well, nobody would say anything, you know, but that's what I wanted. And so she says, we're going to do it. We don't have any money, but we're going to do it somehow or other, you know. And so then my husband starts having talks. He says, so I don't know what you did to me, girl. He said, I'm going to have to sell all my stock. If we don't sell this house, we're going to have to sell all this stock. I said, so we sell it. So, you know, big deal, you know. And we had to give $7,000 down. $7,000 down in 20 years ago, that was a lot of money. And one thing about my husband, he might give me a hard time, but then all of a sudden he gets in the act and does better. He carries it through for me. But the ideas that I get, he carries it through. He says, you know what? We should get a CalVet loan. He said, I'm a California veteran. Let's go try to get it. So we did, and they said they'd give us a $14,000 loan. And, you know, they're good. Mm-hmm. I think it's only 3% interest, something like that. You get all the goodies to go with it. And he got it. He went and worked, and he got it. And, you know, we put our house for sale, and 3 weeks later, a lady came and gave cash, paid cash down to the... You know, she came and she looked at it, and, you know, the real estate guy went off. They went off and made an offer, and we said, yeah, that sounds good. And he said, but you know what? She's trying to back out. The lady's trying to back out now. If she back out, she says, tell her no, that she'll lose her deposit. And my husband says, no. He said, we'll not do that. He said, if she backs out, let her back out. We're not going to, you know. My husband says, I can't do that to anybody. He's real good. And so, no, she was just kind of going like that, but she bought it. Cash. And then we told her, well, you know what, our house won't be ready till November. I says, and you're buying it already here, it's March, I think. Our house is barely started. And she says, well, I told her, we'll tell you what, why don't you rent it to us for the, well, you buy it, okay, and rent it to us for the amount that we're paying, and we'll sell it to you. And she says, fine. She says, I've got an apartment, as long as I know I've got a house, that's all right. She says, you just make the payments to me instead of to the, you know, which was a good deal, you know. And, you know, everything worked out all right. Just no problem moving in here or anything, and everything just worked out perfect, and I said, see? Mm-hmm. He always looks at the worst side of what could happen. You know? So I say, I started, and he ends up carrying it through for me. Mm-hmm. Whatever I say, let's paint this house, and I thought, well, I guess that's why he hesitates, because he's always going to do the work on it. So, worked out good. And all that neighbor did sell their house, and they bought a real nice home up about 187th, mm-hmm. but they're really nice house the way they wanted it, and they made out all right, and they got a CalVet loan too. Mm-hmm. And see, with the money they got from that, they gave a down payment, and since he was already going up getting money, they could make the payment. And just an inspiration. it's just a lot of times you're afraid to do things, and it's just doing it. If it doesn't work out, well, what have you lost? You know. So I sat the one that they kind of instigate. After that, we used to look at other houses, go and look and everything, but I always wanted to stay here after that. So, like my cousin, she kept on going up. She ended up with a tri-level big place up there in Fountain Valley. Mm-hmm. And it's a bigger house sometimes when you're left alone. It's kind of big for this one. For us now, it's just right.
How has retirement been for you?
Let's see. Oh, which way would you say? I'm very happy. I'm always laughing at everything. I mean, everything's, you know. The only thing I miss is the people. People at work, getting up to go to work, mm-hmm. and like that. But I don't know. I'm pretty happy.
What was it like not working after
so
many years?
Oh, God, it was well, the work, it was like my husband says, if it would have been a nice job that we liked, we wouldn't have retired. But it was such a hard physical job and long hours and so much pressure, like I had a lot of pressure, that it was just like a big weight was lifted up, so that I really appreciated being home. I mean, I would like to go back to work, maybe a part-time job, just to get out among the people. But when I do get out among the people, I'm glad I'm home. Even in a car, somebody will shake their fist at you or something, you know. So, or even in the store, somebody thinks you're standing in their way and get put out or something, you know. So, I don't know, sometimes I feel guilty. Like, I think everybody's working and I'm not working, you know. It's funny to have a guilt feeling about that, but I do.
Well, you've worked most of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish most of my life and everything, but I feel like I should still be out there, you know. And I might have to, anything happened to my husband one day, you know, make a little extra, take care of some children or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he says, oh, you're all right, you don't have to worry.
What kinds of things do you do to fill up your time now?
Well, let's see. I like to read a lot. And at least go once or twice, about once a week I go to the library and spend the whole afternoon. I like that. And I like yard work. I do a lot of yard work. I ride my bike. I have a bike that when I retired, they make a big collection thing called Money Tree. With the money that I got, I bought myself a bike. I go bike riding. And I like movies. I go about once a week by myself because he doesn't like them. And I get a hold of one of my girlfriends and we go shopping, or go shopping by myself. And then the house and keeping up the house and, you know. At first there, when my daughter had the baby, that's when I was over there over her house, taking care of her and taking care of her house. And then we had company from Mexico, mm-hmm. I told you, for 6 weeks with those teenagers. And I think we're going to have some more this summer. So it's always something happening, you know. Mm-hmm. Always, or else my husband and I go off together to have lunch someplace, or we'll go down to Laguna. We love Laguna, mm-hmm. you know. And go here and there. But it's nice not to have to get up early. Be able to read the paper. And it's peaceful. Mm-hmm. It's peaceful.
What kinds of social things do you do?
Well, not too much. My husband goes plays golf, and then he's some of the wives, we get together and go shopping together, or stay together and talk or something like that. Mostly my brother, like last Saturday night, they came over, spend the evening with us, you know, or we go over there, mm-hmm. or we go over my daughter's, you know, or they come over here, and his brother comes over here too. Mm-hmm. More of a family social. Then my cousin, I tell you, either we go over there or they come over. So that's about it. Mm-hmm. I think I should do something. I don't know what.
What are your thoughts about the future?
Oh, my thoughts about the future?
For you.
Well, I just feel I'm going to enjoy life while I'm healthy and everything's going okay. I hope to be enjoying my grandson more. And I think maybe about getting a part-time job.
Doing what kind of work do you think?
I don't know. It's, I was thinking of maybe teacher's aide, something like that. I want to be someplace where I can help, where I can do, you know, you need it or something like that. And my brother was talking about getting me a job where he works, but he was telling me Saturday night that they're laying off. Things are getting bad. So, I don't know, just enjoy life and maybe travel, things like that.